No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game show alongside Dave Manuk, who I haven't seen in a matter of mere minutes. Nice to see you again, Mr. Dave. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss tonight's dropping of the Winnipeg Jets by Columbus Rockets, a handy victory team from Columbus by a 4-1 margin, knocking the Jets off of the high perch that they were on, having entered the game with winners of two in a row. A setback tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. The Columbus Blue Jackets score early, they score often, and if it wasn't for a late third period goal that ultimately is meaningless except for ending Yunus Korpisalo's shutout attempt, it would have been just that, a 4-1 victory for the Blue Jackets over the Winnipeg Jets. Dave, nice to see you. As I said, we were sitting next to each other in the press box, and now we're sitting next to each other virtually on our computer screens discussing what was an opportunity missed by the Winnipeg Jets. They're playing against a Columbus Blue Jackets team that was certainly towards the bottom of the NHL standings, a team that has struggled all year, a team that hasn't had a lot of success in any facets of their game. They get Patrick Laine back in the lineup. Laine has had an injury-riddled season this year. He's been in and out of the lineup with a number of different injuries already, and it looks like he was his return was the catalyst that the Blue Jackets needed, because 4-1 is the final, and I know that all the advanced stats and the deserve to win a meter favor the Winnipeg Jets, but the word I would use tonight is that Columbus was opportunistic when the Jets were not, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of putting it, Drew. If you look at the stats, they definitely tend to favor Winnipeg, but the Jets weren't, they weren't connected as a group. It was just a very, the word I would use and you just used was opportunistic by Columbus. I think they took advantage of their opportunities. And, you know, when you've got a guy like Patrick Laine who can shoot the way he does, you know, like I said, in that first period, when you see him make that, you know, Johnny Gaudreau make that beautiful pass across, you know, Patrick Laine, how many times have we seen Patrick Laine score that goal while wearing a Winnipeg Jets jersey? So not a surprise that he is able to get that done against his former club. First time he scored against his former club. So there you go. So Patrick Laine has now scored against, I don't know if he scored against every NHL team. I can't remember if he has, but that he's now going to add Winnipeg to his roster of teams that he's victimized with his goal scoring ability. And it was an unusual game. I mean, it was funny because I was talking about it with the people in the chat. I talked about it with you. I kind of felt like a 4-0 Columbus game to me. In advance,
you did say that you said 4-0 before the game started. You were sitting next to me. Nostradamus was out in full force tonight.
Yeah, I know. People weren't happy about it, but it just kind of felt like one of those games that Columbus, and you look at it, you look at the numbers. Columbus has been struggling, but maybe with Johnny Gaudreau, they've had some interesting injury situations. And we obviously don't pay a ton of attention to what's going on with Columbus. But, you know, just looking at what some of the writers were writing about them, there was a lot of uncertainty. You know, Patrick Laine's taken off IR. Merzlikens was taken off IR. You're not sure what's going to happen in terms of, and Gaudreau, and he was skating. He didn't skate the other day. So it seemed like they had some injury concerns, obviously, with those guys who just came off IR. And yet here they are making their debut. So, and you know, Patrick Laine, you know, he was asked at the pregame, he's kind of his usual glib self talking about, forgot how cold it is here. I'm not really into the cold. So, you know, I mean, he had some fun with it, of course, but it's unfortunate for the Jets because it was an opportunity missed, right? This is a game that, you know, you needed to be awake for, you needed to have a better start for, and they didn't. And even when Columbus went up 1-0, you just didn't feel like there was that pushback coming from the Winnipeg Jets club. It just didn't, from my perspective, Drew, I just didn't see a team that was ready to punch back when they got punched in the mouth. They just kind of seemed to be like, this is our fate. We're going to take it.
Yeah. You know, for the Jets, just to me, were a little soft. And I don't mean physically necessarily, but, you know, early in the game, you know, the passes, they're, you know, they're trying to pass. They were slow and sort of soft with the passes. It wasn't hard and crisp. And I don't know if that they were playing down to their opponent, because I don't think, you know, that would be a fair criticism to level. They just weren't, they just weren't crisp tonight. That's almost the right word. It was just, they were a half a beat slow for a large part of the game, and they got better as the game went on. But when you're already down a couple goals at that point in time, when it's 3-0 and you're barely, you're not 4 minutes into the second period, well, it's a really steep uphill climb. And that's what the Jets were facing for themselves tonight. They just weren't crisp. Whereas Columbus, when they had opportunities, and they didn't have a ton of opportunities, they were able to take advantage of them. I don't blame, you know, this on David Rittich. I mean, the numbers aren't going to look good for him, obviously, tonight, giving up 4 goals on 26 shots. But look at the goals that Columbus scores tonight, and we'll go into them. It's all seam passes. It was very much reminiscent of some of the breakdowns that you maybe thought the Jets were past, or that they were, you know, the Jets of last year, where it's seam passes, seam passes, seam passes. And then the other one is sort of the bad bounce, the Eric Gudbrandsson goal, which we'll get into. It just was not, the Winnipeg Jets just were not, didn't have the attention to detail. They didn't have the small things, the small parts of the game that really are the difference between success and failure. Tonight, they didn't have those things. And, you know, they couldn't outscore, they, you know, their troubles. They tried, they got hit a couple of posts, but, you know, Jonas Korpisalo played a very good game for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm not by any means saying that the Jets got goalied tonight, because they didn't. Don't even use that word. Don't even bring that up. That is not, that's letting the Jets off the hook. Korpisalo played well. He did what, you know, the Jets often do to other teams is he made some, you know, Hellebuck specifically, he made some quality saves that make the team in front of him look a little bit better. But the Jets just tonight were not like we saw on Tuesday against Chicago. They were not like we saw on Sunday Tuesday against Colorado. They're not like we saw Sunday against the Blackhawks. This was just a Jets team that was a step behind, a little bit soft, and as a result, you know, at the NHL level, you know, when you have guys like Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine and Boone Jenner, well, those guys can win a game on their own, because they were the only three Columbus players, forwards, that I really noticed. Gustav Nyquist and Roslovic also had decent games, so I should give them credit too. But, you know, I would say that, you know, almost the Blue Jackets' best players were better than the Jets' best players. And you saw it all night long. The Jets were just struggling to complete relatively easy passes. There was a sequence, Dave. I think it must have been in the second period when the Jets were still trying to get back in the game. I think it was maybe only still 3-0 at this point, where a goal by the Jets would have made a big difference. And the puck was just bouncing over guys' sticks when it looked like they were in prime shooting position. Just an all-around sloppy effort, as Andrew puts on the screen there, or as Andrew commented and we have on the screen there. Just not the crisp, effective Winnipeg Jets that we've seen for the last few nights.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are talking about coming off of the game against Colorado, the defending Stanley Cup champions. You beat them handily here in Winnipeg to kick off this homestand, and then you put up a stinker, right? It's very, very unfortunate, because, you know, people want to see that. They want to see that you can have consistency, right? And consistency and effort. It's an 82-game season. You're not going to play fantastic every game. So you're going to have nights where the team just doesn't have it. Yeah. And that happens. And look, more often than not, this team has had it. And when they do, we commend them for being able to have it, whatever that is. But for right now, for whatever reason, this evening, maybe they were a little too cold. The fact of the matter is that they didn't have it. They weren't crisp. And you're right. There was that sequence where it was 3-0. Might've been in the second period.
Yeah. It was 3-0 at that point.
They were attacking to the right. And, you know, it bounced. Wheeler made the pass to Scheifele, and then Wheeler made the pass to, was it Perfetti? And
Perfetti. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were two. So both instances, the puck bounced and jumped over their sticks. And so you thought, well, that's just kind of symbolic of how this game has gone for Winnipeg, is they just haven't been able to bury their chances. And And then it's, you know, look, Morgan Barron hits that. If he doesn't hit that post, maybe it's a bit of a different game. You never know, but that's always easy to say after the fact in hindsight. So, I mean, why don't we just complain about the refereeing and the linesman making those egregious penalty call on Jansen Harkins? That cost the Jets the game.
It was bad. I mean, it's just so frustrating. So that, you know,
for the record, for anybody who I know, Bailey was at the Moose game yesterday. The officiating in that game stunk. So let me tell you, so far I've been watching a lot of terrible officiating in the NHL and the AHL.
So let's talk about that for a second, let me just be clear.
Yes.
Jansen Harkins penalty.
Good disclaimer.
The Jansen Harkins delay of game penalty at the 15:47 mark of the first period had no bearing on the outcome of the game. So they just want to make that clear. But it's so frustrating and so nonsensical that play, you know, where the refs missed it because they're humans. It clearly, he hits it off the boards and it climbs the glass and it goes over the out of the playing area, and he gets called for the delay of game for the puck over the glass. And he gets called for it after all four officials get together on the ice, the two referees and the two lines, when they get together and they talk about it. And what did you see? Do you want to go for dinner? Do you want to have a beer? Or do you want to have a steak? What kind of steak are you going to have? Whatever they're discussing, they get together, they talk about it, and they make the call. It's clearly the wrong call. They don't have the ability to review it. Now, I don't know that they necessarily need to have the ability to review it, but, you know, there's no reason why an off-ice official up in the suite, where, you know, right where we are in the press box, and because they're sitting there watching on big screens, big giant monitors, monitoring everything, why one of those officials can't make a quick buzz down and say, hey, it hit the boards first. You know, I watch a lot of NFL, as most people here know. I was watching a game yesterday. It was New England and Buffalo. And it looked like Buffalo had picked off the New England quarterback, Mac Jones. And, you know, it looked on the initial replay, it looked like he caught the ball 2 feet, went to the ground. And the ruling on the field initially was a interception. Well, you know, they watched the replay and somebody, the off-field official, buzzed down to the on-field officials and say, hey, he actually dropped the ball when he went to the ground. He didn't complete the catch. It took no time, no extra time at all. I don't know why the NHL can't do the same thing. It's not a judgment call. Something like this is not a judgment call. It either hits the glass or it hits the boards or it doesn't. This one clearly did. The official, after he made the call, and then they confirmed the call and they said, oh, no, this is the right call. We watched him. Because we were up in our vantage point in the press box. We watched the official look up at the Jumbotron and watch the replay, and you could see him realize that they got it wrong.
Which, for the record, Rick Bonus pointed out, was like, look up. That's all right. You have to do.
So, I mean, again, this doesn't have anything to do with the
outcome. Yeah, we're not talking about this having any impact on the outcome of the game.
But there's no reason why, if you're going to be sitting there and reviewing if a guy's skate is a half a millimeter off, you know, offside or not, why that same off-ice official can't just quickly buzz down and say, hey, guys, it hit the boards. It's clear as day. Let's move on. No penalty. Drop the puck.
Well, and more.
If you're worried about getting
that actually took their little conference.
Their little powwow. Conversation.
Took longer to do than perhaps an official who, I mean, again, it's not like you need to see, it's not like a goal. It's not like you need 30 angles to be like, okay, that clearly hit. Let's get the call right. This is, you know, I mean, it's a game of inches. And like you said, they're human and it's a fast game, even though the linesman 61, I don't know, remember what his name was, but even though he was clearly looking at the play and where the puck was, and then, you know, like you said, it would be very easy to get it right. And obviously, like I said, this is most important to realize. We're not talking about how this has some sort of significant outcome of the game, but it's just frustrating to watch. You know, the idea is, what do we talk about? You have more officials to get calls right on the ice.
Right.
That's the reason why, you remember, anybody who grew up in the 80s, 90s, remember, there were only three officials on the ice.
Yeah, there was one ref.
That's right. One ref, two linesmen. Now you have two refs, two linesmen to get the calls right.
And the technology to get it right in a second. I'm not talking about judgment calls. I'm not talking about, is it a trip? Is it a hook? Is it a high
stick? It's nothing about being subjective. There's no subjectivity to it. It's just, it's a purely objective. Did it hit or didn't it hit? And it did. And why does Drew look like he's frozen? Which means it's time. Upgrade. Drew, yeah. You're frozen. And I was like, this is no good. I got to block the porn bots and do all the talking. That's not going to be good for the chat.
I was talking. I wasn't frozen. I was working
Drew,
fine.
Don't force me to go to the chat. But I'm telling you, your face was gloriously frozen, which meant it was going to be a Manuke Moose minute for some time. Although now I'm trying to block porn bots and try and carry this conversation. But anyways,
you can hear me now is the important part.
I can hear you now. You're good.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it's just another one of those sort of frustrations that doesn't make a lot of sense. Didn't matter to the game, but it's just something that the NHL can easily rectify with no effort at all, yet they refuse to do it. You know, it's low-hanging fruit that they refuse to pick. Right. Let's get started into the Betway game recap. It's brought to you, of course, by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. 6 minutes and 48 seconds into today's game, Patrick Laine, he gets the goal. His third of the season, his first of the night, assisted Johnny Gaudreau. And you got to see why Columbus wanted to pair those two together. You have Gaudreau's playmaking and you have Laine's shot. I mean, this was a world-class play by two world-class players. Beautiful seam pass right across the ice. And Laine, I mean, there's not a big window for him to shoot out here.
No.
It's not like, you know, Rittich was you know, terribly out of position or anything like that. But Laine knows how to pick a corner like very few in the NHL. And you knew that felt good for him to get the Blue Jackets on the board with that 1-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, that was vintage Patrick Laine. And like I said earlier, that's you watch that play. By the way, Drew, I already commented on LB's comment saying you look so hot without glasses. So
it's true. I know.
I really hope that's your wife.
It's not. I can assure you my wife has probably doesn't even realize I'm not wearing my glasses. And secondly, is definitely not in the chat.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, yeah. So it was vintage. And you're right. It was just a beautiful pass by Johnny Gaudreau. And it was also, can we talk about how bad the Jets defense was? I mean, guys, nobody had their man. It was like everyone was just looking around and that was, you know, to me, part of the biggest problem of this game was that there was a lot of apathy, it seemed like, with the coverage from the Jets defensively. And I thought, you know, you just can't afford to do that with the fact that that's why I love the chat. So the person who thought Drew was looking good without glasses was LB. And then Rob Mahoney comes in with Lauren Brossois has always crushed hard on Drew. Good one. Anyways, LB's back to focused on Patrick Laine, which is what I was focused on before I got distracted by LB's comment about Drew. Yeah. But anyways, let's keep
focus
this thing back
on the job. Focus. Can you keep it together there, Manuke?
Keep it together. We got no Ezzy. We shouldn't be segueing so hard. Ah, there's a porn bot, Drew. Get rid of it. So anywho,
the porn bot.
So yeah, I mean, it's you can't afford to leave Patrick Laine that wide open. I mean, he is going to make you pay as we've saw him make teams pay throughout the course of the time he wore a Winnipeg Jets jersey. Numerous times. So look, it's an unfortunate, you know, Jets team that was falling asleep, and it was a collective group, right? Because the fact is there were a number of guys who were passengers on that shift, and you just can't afford to have that. I mean, you can't look, first of all, it's the Jets aren't in a weight class. I know the Jets are doing well. Don't get me wrong. And we're not going to, you know, piss all over the Jets, but the fact is the Jets aren't in the weight class that they can look past their opponents and be like, well, you know, these are 4 points this weekend. You know, Columbus and Anaheim stink. So we can afford to take them. Look, Korpisalo, first of all, Korpisalo played well. He made the saves he needed to make. But you're not a team that's at a level where you cannot be crispy. And that is what we saw from a Jets team that just seemed a little too laissez-faire to my mind, to the way they started that game. And the way they started it kind of was the continuation. And I know, like I said, I know the numbers would suggest the Jets deserved to win that game. But ultimately, you know, those little small lapses end up in the back of your net. And as a result, and look, maybe if Connor Hellebuck's in net, you don't have that. Maybe if Axel Janssen Fjällby isn't five seats over from Drew and I, hey, you put the flow in that game. Who's to say what's going to happen? But you know,
and we'll talk about that decision. On the post game, we'll talk about it again tomorrow morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, because that one was a little curious to me as to why he got sat today to bring Sam Gagner back into the lineup. It wouldn't have been my decision, but you know, we can talk about that a little bit as well as we get moving here on the Illegal Curve post game show. The Jets losing 4-1 tonight to the Columbus Blue Jackets, 1-0 for Columbus. Only took him about another 4 minutes, just under 4 minutes, 3 minutes and 54 seconds later to make it 2-0. Erik Gudbrandsson, he gets his first of the year, assisted Jack Roslovic and Kent Johnson. And you know that's got to feel good for Jack Roslovic as well. Dave M., you thought that it was Roslovic's goal, but no, it was Gudbrandsson. It was a shot by Gudbrandsson, mm-hmm. and Riddick makes the save, and then it deflects off of his pad, off of the Jets' off of the Jets defender in that instance, past I think it was even off of Dubois, if I'm not mistaken, off of the rebound goes in off of Dubois past Riddick, and it's 2-0 for the Blue Jackets. Just a solid net drive by Kent Johnson, a solid net drive by Jack Roslovic, and it's a good bounce for Columbus. They get the good bounce on this one, but they don't have to apologize for that, and it's 2-0 for Columbus. This is the only one that's sort of the Jets didn't play poorly defensively. This is just sort of a smart shot by Gudbrandsson off of the far pad. And, you know, it's a big rebound because that's what the shot's intended to do. And the Blue Jackets get a little bit lucky that it goes in off of Dubois and past David Riddick.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is one of those instances where you're not, it's just like you said, it's an unfortunate bounce, Drew. It's not something that you need to overanalyze. I mean, I think everyone was, for the most part, defensively in position, and it's just an unfortunate situation where the Jets have a bounce that goes in off of them, and the Jets have been the beneficiaries of that before, and so it's going to happen throughout the course of a year where you're going to have a play where it's unfortunate. I mean, the only thing I would say that had that happened was, again, the Jets looked a tad slow, mm-hmm. and I thought Columbus seemed to, when they got their chances, when they managed to counter attack, and look, we talked about it. They didn't. What were the final high danger numbers? It was like 16-7 in favor of Winnipeg, I think. And so, but the difference was that the Jets weren't able to take advantage when they had those high danger chances, and the Jackets did. And so that was, you know, and just a simple instance of an unfortunate bounce that goes in off of Dubois and ends up in the back of their net. And you know, look, a 2-0 game for a Jets team that seems to have found their scoring touch a little bit. Mm-hmm. Isn't insurmountable, but based on how they were playing, you didn't feel it, right? Like it was weird. There was only really one stretch. I think it was in the second period, Drew, where they really cycled the puck particularly well.
Right.
Sorry,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say that was kind of the only real sustained pressure we saw throughout the course of the game, where they really worked the Jackets down and wore them out to a significant degree. And for the most part, we didn't really see that. We saw kind of attack, counterattack instances throughout the course of this game, I thought.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, that there was, you know, a sequence in the second period. So it's 2-0 for Columbus after 20 minutes. But, you know, this Columbus team, again, the Jets are not out of it at 2-0. Because this Columbus team has, you know, been leaky all over all year round.
Right.
So the Jets just need that third goal. They need that, you know, to get on the scoreboard early in the second and cut the lead in half. And Columbus is going to have doubts creep in. Instead, what happens? Line A scores at the 3:19 mark. His second of the game, his fourth of the year. Assist to Boone Jenner and assist to Johnny Gaudreau. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous play by that trio. And that trio were the best three players on the ice in tonight's game, by my estimation. They were just all over the Jets. The Jets, you know, top guns did not have an answer for them. You know, I believe in this one, it's Gaudreau hits the zone with speed. He passes it to, or he hits the zone, he puts on the brakes. Jenner's coming in with speed, and he gets the puck in a very dangerous spot. And Boone Jenner just with an absolutely beautiful pass to Pat Laine. And, you know, Patrick Laine in a prime shooting position is a very, very dangerous proposition. And that's exactly what happened here. It's just Laine, you know, the speed of the Blue Jackets had the Jets on their heels. And in this instance, you know, Jenner just tees it up for Laine, and he's not going to miss that very often. his skill set, as we all know, and his shot in that prime position is going to be a problem for absolutely everybody in this league. And the Jets had no answer for it here, and boom, it's 3-0 for Columbus. And that's just I wouldn't say it's a backbreaker, because it's, you know, that would probably give the Jets too much credit at that point in time. But when any thought that they had of getting back into the game makes it that much more difficult when you're down 3-0, just 2 minutes into the period, because the Jets started the third, remember, Dave, the second, they started it on the power play.
On the power play, yeah.
But then Wheeler takes that interference penalty 11 seconds into the second period. So rather than the power play have a chance to set up and try and establish itself and get the Jets maybe on the scoreboard, it's a 4-on-4 situation very quickly. Nothing happens on the 4-on-4, back to 5-on-5. Just anytime the Jets were looking to get some momentum going, Columbus immediately was able to prevent it from happening. And it's 3-0. And Laine, I mean, look, Patrick Laine is an exquisite goal scorer. You can't, whatever else you want to say about him, he is that. And the Jets had no answer for him. In fact, he was left all alone too many times in high danger areas.
Yeah. And remember, there's that one instance, Drew, where he's coming right down Main Street. And if he didn't. Yeah. You know, have that. I think it was maybe Neil Pionk who may have gotten who swiped the puck away from him. But that would have been, you know, one of those in tight chances, grade A for Patrick Laine, who I would put my money on Patrick Laine. If I was doing a Betway bet on that one, I would have bet on Patrick Laine against David Rittich when he's coming down Main Street, maybe stopping at Earl's Main, who knows. But the reality was that it's 3-0 for the Jackets. And it's not insurmountable that based on the way the Jets were playing tonight, it kind of did feel that way, especially because it was relatively early in the second period. And right. Thinking to yourself, sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you. Finish your thought.
No, nothing. I just was going to say, like, it's just a situation where you're looking at the Jets and you're thinking to yourself, do they have it in them to do something tonight? Because right now you're not seeing that. And again, there were a couple of instances where they could have, look, Morgan Barron hits the post.
Right.
Twice.
Well, that's what I was going to say is after the 3-0 goal, that's when the Jets really sort of, in my estimation, took control of the game.
Because if you remember, we talked about in the press box, Columbus took the foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Columbus at that point is 3-0. And they're like, okay, we're going to hang on to this lead. That was their mindset, I believe, was that they just didn't see the aggression that there wasn't a ton of it from Columbus. They were more opportunistic than anything else. But I thought even that they kind of pulled back on. They didn't want to take any risk. They didn't want to add any risk to their game. And it created almost like a bit of a fear in their game. And because of that, they sat back and it allowed the Jets to kind of take it to them, I thought, throughout the second period.
I would agree with that. Exactly right. Columbus, you know, doesn't really know how to play with a lead. They've played with a lead so few times this year that you could sort of see the unease in which, you know, they weren't sure. What do? Do they keep going? Do they collapse into a shell? And, you know, Morgan Barron hit a post. And the Jets had ample opportunities in that second period. It was all happening, you know, right below us. Still hear me?
What'd you say?
Can you still hear me? My computer screen has gone completely blank.
No, we're good. I can still hear you, Drew. Waiting. So I'm biding my time for you to freeze because it feels like you're very close to doing that. And then I'm switching this to a Manuk Moose minute. So if you give me, I'm like the Jets. I am opportunistic, and if I get one little instance of weakness from you, Mindell, I am switching this show right over to Manuk Moose minute. So you're still good. You're still good for right now.
Okay,
I'm telling you right now. You give me that little window.
I think I had like a power surge or something because my computer just went absolutely berserk for about 10 seconds there. But I think we're back to being okay. But what I was saying is that Columbus, you could see they didn't know how to play with that lead. They're up 3-0. Morgan Barron hits the post. If that goes in, well, it's a 3-1 game. And again, I think Columbus is playing with a much different second period, very nervous second period at that point in time. And you mentioned, or we both mentioned it, the sort of the 2-on-1 opportunities. They weren't really 2-on-1s, but the Jets were really looking like they were in prime position to get a shot, to get a shot on goal, a good scoring chance, but the pucks were bouncing over sticks. You know, that's what you sort of saw happen throughout that second period when the Jets just sort of needed that one goal, but they didn't get it. They weren't able to get it. And then, you know, which is, you know, again, to the Blue Jackets, to the Blue Jackets' credit. They don't have to apologize for not giving it up. They were able to hold on to it a little bit for dear life in that second period. And then Gustav Nyquist at the 12:21 mark of the second, his fourth of the year, assisted Johnny Gaudreau and Vladislav Gavrikov. And this is not one that's going to go down on the highlight reels for the Winnipeg Jets, for their defenders, particularly for Kyle Connor. He's a fish out of water on this play, trying to, defend against somebody. He chooses nobody. He defends against air, does a great job preventing air from getting the goal. Unfortunately, though, Nyquist is in the position to just sort of tap it in after another great play by Johnny Gaudreau, who was well-deserving for us to select him as the first star in tonight's game, because he was absolutely at his best playmaking self tonight, and this one made it 4-0 at the 12:21 mark of the second period, Dave.
And at that point, it was like, and here come the pretzels, because this game is over, Rock. Look, at that point, and that was a beautiful play by Columbus, but again, how many instances of guys just kind of standing around watching? The Jets were slow. Columbus attacked with some speed. Great passing sequence. I think 4 of their 5 guys touched that puck just before it found the back of the net. And you're right. I mean, all he had to do was touch it to go, to put it in. I mean, that's one of the easiest goals he'll have to score. Really nice passing play by the Jackets. And yeah, that was the death knell to the Jets, in the second period at that point, because you're not coming back. They had nothing doing. And I don't care how good a third period they were going to have. They weren't going to score 4 goals to tie that game.
And, Columbus gave him opportunities to get into it in the third period. Now, I don't think the Jets were going to come back from 4 down. I agree with you there. I don't think the Jets were going to come back from 4 down, in the third period. But, again, Line A takes an interference penalty 1:13 into the third period.
Right.
Can the Jets do anything on the power play? Well, we know that power play did not do anything and it was,
I said, what I said on Twitter, Drew? I said on Twitter that that power play needed Patrick Line A to get something done.
It's probably true. They were missing him. Then again, a couple minutes later, Eric Gudbrandsson, he takes a puck over glass penalty. Didn't the Jets do anything on that
was a penalty.
That one was a clear puck over the glass. No question about that one. Refs didn't blow that one. They got that one right. But can the Jets do anything on that power play opportunity? They can't.
Negative.
So again, it's 2 early third period power play opportunities that, had they been a little bit more opportunistic, that's the word again. That's sort of the buzzword of the day. It's not the unique code word of the day. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the Jets were just not opportunistic enough at any point in time in any of their scoring opportunities, in any of their power play opportunities. They end up breaking the shutout of Jonas Korpisalo. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his 11th of the year, sort of got a quiet 11 goals already in my estimation, not a lot of people talking about, Josh Morrissey's obviously been getting the headlines. Scheifele's been getting a lot. But Pierre-Luc, Wheeler with the hat trick, obviously on Tuesday night, but Pierre-Luc Dubois quietly already up to 11 goals. Perfetti gets an assist there. It was questionable if he was going to get the assist or not. He did get it. He's up to 11 assists, and Wheeler with his 14th assist.
Yeah, took it away from Josh Morrissey. I mean, I guess they didn't want to give Josh Morrissey, they didn't want him to have too many assists. He had 21 in 22 games. Now suddenly they're trying to take him away. He's no longer going to be Josh Morrissey, I guess, because of that. So hope it was worth it. Now Cole Perfetti will be, Calder Perfetti, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's the fix is in, as Ezzy would say.
The fix is in. Well, the Winnipeg Jets need to find a way to fix what ailed them tonight. 4-1 is the final in favor of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Jets, of course, back in action, looking to rebound and against another one of the weaker teams Sunday afternoon against the Anaheim Ducks. But much more to talk about before we look ahead to Sunday. Reminder, tomorrow's a Legal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. Talk about today, talk about Sunday, talk about Paul Maurice returning on Tuesday. So be sure to bookmark that to join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Of course, much more to come on tonight's edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll head to break. We'll come back with a unique code word.
Don't go anywhere.
Tough duck. Winner. We got to do that. You can smash the like button while you're waiting. It's Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk. We're with you on this Friday night edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsburg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No
yep.
way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code Illegal Curve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's GRYD Park. And use the code Illegal Curve. All one word. You'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Shortly before 10:30 Friday night, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk with you. We'll be back again in less than 12 hours time from now, 9 a.m. tomorrow with the Illegal Curve hockey show. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon, a matinee version of the Illegal Curve post-game show right around 4:45 p.m. after the Jets and the Ducks. We'll get to some of Rick Bowness's comments on the other side of this. But first, we have, of course, the unique code word for the Illegal Curve merchandise contest. If you're new here and you don't know what I'm talking about, allow me to explain. At the bottom of your screen, if you click on the drop-down arrow on the YouTube page, you'll see the show description. You'll see a link to the Illegal Curve contest. Enter the unique code that I'm about to give you, and you will earn entries to win some great merchandise courtesy of us here at Illegal Curve. A lot of great winners so far. New month, new contest, new opportunity to earn entries. So the more you participate, the more you do all the different tasks that are listed, the more entries you'll get, the more opportunities you'll have to win great merchandise. If you can't find the entry link on the YouTube page for some reason, maybe you're pulling your last remaining hairs out and saying, Drew, I can't find it. Go to our website, illegalcurve.com. Basically, click on any article there. Click the link to the contest page. You'll see, again, everything that you can do to earn more entries.
And Drew, just a quick update.
Yes.
We may. Wacky Dave's
ticket making
prize,
emporium?
No, not ticket making, although you gave it away. But my prize emporium has been, you know, the machine has been turned on, and we may have some tickets to give away for Jets games in the future, possibly. But which reminds me before I forget.
Yes.
And, you know, do you want me? Actually, I'll save that. You finish this. We'll talk about what I've got to give away to the chat in a bit.
Okay, fair enough. Let us go. The unique code for tonight, in honor of our friends from Columbus being here in town, beware the cannon. All one word, even though it's three words technically.
Sorry, Alan. Weren't going to guess that one.
No, you weren't. Alan was trying to guess. He was trying to get into the mind of Dave, but no.
This is actually a combined. This was a combined mind of Mindell and Manuk.
That's right.
So just so you're aware, guys, this is why it was a little more difficult, because it wasn't just Manuk you were up against. You were up against Mindell and Manuk, and as a result, we combined it. And I noticed. I looked. We had no winners before the show began.
Because you did not guess, the unique code word would be beware the cannon.
And Alan.
So there you go. Enter in beware the cannon, all one word, all caps. Put that into the contest page. You will get bonus entries for the opportunity to win some great merchandise, much like today's winner. Drum roll, please, Dave. Thank you, Chris Friesen. Chris Friesen, you are the winner of the Illegal Curve merchandise contest. Congratulations to you, Chris. We will be in touch with you to award you your prize of Winnipeg Jets authentic gear. So congratulations to Chris Friesen. Of course, another opportunity to win this coming Sunday afternoon after the Jets and the Ducks, when the Jets will look to get back into the right side of the ledger when they face off against the Anaheim Ducks, a team that they've beaten very recently. They'll have an opportunity to do so again on home ice and eliminate the stink from tonight's game, a game that head coach Rick Bowness was not happy with. Quote, we had a lot of bad performances from a lot of players in that room. He means the Winnipeg Jets dressing room. We did. The team game kind of went out the window at times defensively. We gave them those goals. It was terrible coverage that we normally cover. So the Winnipeg Jets head coach not happy about it. He's not happy about the power play. Our power play could have turned the game around for us, and they didn't. They didn't execute. So that's on them. It is a statement. If you're not going to work, you're not going to go back out. That was in response to the question of why he gave some depth players more time on the power play in tonight's game. The Jets head coach not happy with the best players on the roster, which makes sense because the Blue Jackets' best players definitely outplayed the Jets' best players tonight. But, you know, following it up, Grandpa Rick, obviously, you know, I'm disappointed, but I still love you. The players will respond. They're a good team and they're good people in that room. They care. We had a bad night. They'll respond. So that's from some of the quotes from the Winnipeg Jets head coach, Rick Bowness, after tonight's game, where the Jets laid a bit of a stinkeroo on home ice 4-1, Dave, the Jets losing to the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and look, these things tend to happen. And I guess the the benefit is that there were a number of passengers on today's on the jet that didn't get off the ground for Winnipeg, maybe due to the cold weather that we're not used to dealing with. But for whatever reason, they just weren't collectively as a group for the most part. I mean, there were some flashes. There were some nice plays by some of the guys who were role players on this team. But the big boys, the drivers, the guys who need to get it done for this Jets club, they weren't able to do that. And as a result, and look, we look at the power play, Drew. How many times did we see guys are trying to thread passes through seven players. I mean, it made no sense. And it's like, you know, when you're not getting, when things aren't working, get a big old greasy goal, you know, take a shot. And the truth was actually, even in the first period, Corbezalo was giving up big rebounds, you know, especially in the first period, the Jets had probably 4 to 6 shots where Corbezalo gave a pretty juicy rebound that if you kept going at him with speed, you had a chance to do something. And that was the problem was the Jets were, how many outside shots did the Jets take? Right. And I know, again, the Jets led in the high danger areas, but to me, that was one of those areas that, I mean, look, Blake Wheeler's a phenomenal passer, but Blake Wheeler shooting from 25 feet out is not going to beat Corpusalo. It's just not going to happen. I mean, maybe once every like 500th shot, but it's not going to beat him regularly. And it's not a good use of time and space. Pierre-Luc Dubois also made we're talking about that one shift where the Jets controlled and really worked the puck around in the Columbus end. But then Pierre-Luc Dubois takes a completely ineffective shot from, you know, 30 feet away that there's no screen in front. I mean, the number of instances where there were bodies in front of Corpusalo taking away his eyes from the puck, I mean, there weren't a lot of those. And the other thing the Jets have to get better at, one thing the Jets have been criminally bad, I think, at this season, hitting the net. I mean, how many instances where there are shots, and sometimes you do it intentionally, right? Sometimes you intentionally try and hit the backboard so you can get that rebound. But there were too many instances of defensemen smoking that puck. And like it's going nowhere near the net. And then it creates two things. Number one, you're not creating the rebound you want or a goal, but you're not creating a rebound. And secondly, you're rimming the puck around. And if your forwards are deep, you know, you could potentially create an odd man rush the other way. So that's an area they need to clean up. They need to be a little bit more disciplined in their accuracy. But yeah, I mean, look, it's a stinker. And this happens. And so what you do is you put it away and you respond, right? Your coach isn't ripping you a new one. He's saying, okay, we'll practice tomorrow. They're scheduled to practice tomorrow at 12 noon. Yeah. And then they play on Sunday at 2. So, I mean, there'll be an opportunity to take it out on Anaheim, but you have to, you can't come back. You can't come out and have a lackluster. It's a word we haven't used today. And that to me is what probably describes tonight's effort from the Jets. You cannot have a second lackluster effort. I don't care about they're a bad team. They're a good team. They're whatever. Like it's an NHL team. So, and look at John Gibson's numbers, right? Like his numbers have been pretty good, even though he's on a pretty bad Anaheim team. So the fact is you could go up against a goaltender. I mean, look what happened to the Coyotes last year, the Jets against the Coyotes last year, right? They went up against your boy Kjell Vajarma. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they couldn't score. So, I mean, you have to have the effort though. It's like, you're not going to win every game and people are going to understand that. But people want to see that your effort is sufficient to get you in that game. And if the goaltender plays better than you and you can't score, that can be understandable. But what people don't understand is the effort that is on display sometimes from this club. And tonight was one of those instances.
Well said, Dave M. I can't argue with anything you just said there. Good soliloquy on your part. And didn't even have anything to do with the Manitoba Moose. Well, we'll save that. We'll save the Moose minute for tomorrow. Tomorrow, you got Saturday show tomorrow. We got to do the tough duck, hardest hitting comment.
But I won't talk about the Moose shutout. I mean, the shootout loss yesterday to the Milwaukee Admirals, the first ever school day game. I won't talk about it, Drew. You're right. Even though Bailey was there, I won't go on about, you know, how it's probably one of the best, most fun games to be at. I've always watched. I gotta say,
it seems like you're talking about it.
No, it's not. It's not. I haven't hit the minute mark, so it's not technically a Manuk Moose minute. But what I was going to say, is I will do this. I will wait. I will hold this in abeyance, and I will discuss it tomorrow on the show if you and Ez will give me the opportunity. But
of course,
but
yes,
what I will say also though, and I want people to listen.
We want to hear
it. Is that there are 4 illegal curve tickets in the illegal curve zone to tomorrow's Manitoba Moose game, which we'll preview on tomorrow's show when I discuss yesterday afternoon's game. Sorry, Deco and Paulie. Drew's not going to let me get it out. But I will tell you, I'll give you the injury updates on the Moose. I'll give you the score updates. I'll give you all that information. But what I want to do tomorrow. Is give some... Tomorrow, I'm agreeing, Drew. I'm agreeing to the terms. Very tough terms.
But you want to give away Moose tickets now is what you're saying.
But I do want to give away some Moose tickets now. So I've got 4 tickets to the Moose game. I think I've got 4 tickets. I'm checking the thing right now.
Probably should have checked this before you know.
No. We got 4 tickets. The it's not my fault. The Jet Stupid app isn't working right now. But anyways, four tickets. Oh, here we go. Four tickets in the Illegal Curve Zone tomorrow's game. So if you want to go to the game, send me a message. I see Dave, section 125, row 9.
And guess who's going to be sitting right next to you in section 124?
Yeah, Drew's in 124.
I'm in 124 tomorrow, folks. So, you know, if you want to go to tomorrow's Moose game, send Dave a message right now. Slide into his DMs, at I see Dave. Send him an email.
Rob Mahoney wants to know if they get a meet and greet. Rob, you do.
Rob,
Drew's one section over.
I'm one section over. You're going to see me on the concourse tomorrow. I'll be signing autographs. I'll be kissing babies. I'll be taking photographs. Whatever.
For the record, don't let Drew kiss your baby.
Don't let me kiss. No, keep your babies away from me is 100% what I would suggest. But yes, I will be there tomorrow.
Tell them what it is tomorrow, Drew. It's Manitoba.
Tomorrow is Made in Manitoba Day at the Manitoba Moose game, which means they're promoting small business at tomorrow's game. So I'm going to be there as part of my small business. And you can see me on the concourse tomorrow. If you want to come by, shake my hand. If you want to say hello, by all means, come up, say hi. Always excited to meet people. Yes, you can throw popcorn at me, Tikona Polly, if you want to do that. You can. I'm not asking for any money, Bailey. I will not charge you one penny for a photo or an autograph. You can just come up and say hi, and I'll be pleased to.
Wouldn't you be paying them?
I really, truly should be. Absolutely. That's exactly how it should be. But anyways, I'll be
Drew,
there tomorrow.
We'll be back in the arena together like we were tonight.
If you know, Dave, I think we should maybe just move in together. How about a one bedroom apartment, just the two of us? You know, maybe one bedroom with a pull out couch. Does that sound like a good deal?
Okay, well let's get away from that craziness. But okay. Doug, I mean Doug's point is you get not only do you get to go to the Moose game for free on Illegal Curve, four tickets. I like to do two and two, and sometimes people get to meet up. But if you want to take your family and Well, Roscoe's going a little far with that. But anyways,
always
Doug
takes it a little too far, Roscoe does.
but it is a free pierogi day tomorrow. I believe the Moose are giving away pierogies.
Well, in that case, you know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be, sir, please don't take the whole tray of pierogies
with you. It'll be like Drew walking with like all the pierogies. But yes, you will. It is a fun opportunity to go to the Moose game, see them play against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a very good team. Top in the Central. The Moose fought back, had a good game on Thursday in front of a big crowd. So, if you want to go to the game, I see Dave or Dave at illegalcurve.com gets you either two or four or even one ticket if you want to go.
There you go. Something.
Thank you, Phyllis, by the way. Phyllis said I did a good job on doing color on the game yesterday.
Well, there you go. Yes, you do always do an admirable job, a quality job.
Representing
well when you do the color next to Daniel Fink. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment to wrap it up. You know, this is a good one. And it's from a loyal viewer and a loyal, you know, audience member and a loyal chatter. So I'm thrilled to give it to her. Let's give it to our friend Bailey.
Bailey
says, and I agree. I think it's something we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show. The Jets should have played Fialbi tonight and maybe taken out Manalainen so they could have gone Gagne in the lineup. Fialbi was needed tonight. The closest player we have to Ehlers these days. Bailey, there you go. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. I saw it. I liked it. Send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, and our friends at Tough Duck will be sure to send you out a toque, courtesy of them. They're the sponsors, of course, of the Illegal Curve Hardest Hitting Comment Contest. That wraps it up for us on this Friday evening here. Big thank you to everybody for joining us, all the great chatters joining us on this Friday night. We'll see you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I want to say a big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, although our friends at Betway might not be that happy with me because I had Utah to beat USC tonight, and Utah is absolutely pumping USC right now, up by 23 with a minute and a half to go. So yay me. Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. If you know of a business, if you have a business, maybe you are a business and you want to support us here at Illegal Curve, you want to become a sponsor, send us a message. Drew@illegalcurve.com, Dave@illegalcurve.com. Slide into any of our DMs as you are wont to do. Big thanks to everybody for joining us. Next post-game show, Sunday, 4:45 p.m. back here on our YouTube channel. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here. We'll be talking about tonight's game. We'll be talking about Sunday. We'll preview the month of December. And, of course, Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers come to town on Tuesday. Going to be talking about a lot about that on tomorrow morning's show. Until then, Dave Minook's on the right. I'm Drew Mindell, the host of this fine program. Thanks to everybody for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pardon me, Illegal Curve Postgame Show. And tomorrow, until tomorrow at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.